Kane again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello, I'm Charles Commons. Welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast for Northampton Town fans and, of course, the FSA Club Podcast of the Year. Well, I don't know about you, but what a weekend. The Cobblers were on fire down at Leyton Orient. Automatic promotion is back in our own hands. That blue lot got relegated and, and NTFC Women won the Northants FA Cup.
Hey.
So, let's say a big EI, EIO to Danny Brothers, Neil Exeter Scott and Chessie Coleman.
Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, ding, dong.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, ding, thunder bastard. A ding, 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 dong. Ding, dong, ding, ding, dong. Thunder bastard, ding, ding, dong.
That's like the late night remix.
Do you know what that noise was? Can anyone guess what that noise was?
Was it the clapper from the Tranmere game?
It was not.
Oh,
two items bashed against each other.
Was it your penis and your thigh?
It was not.
No?
No. It was a hole punch and a loyalty card to my barbers.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
How you didn't get that, I don't know.
Oh, dear. I'm so tired that has made me laugh so much. Oh, bless
you.
Sorry, guys.
Charles, you were just introducing us. And
well, it's all gone to pot already.
We're all so
this
happy.
Is what happens when we score four goals.
In one half.
In one half.
Oh, my word. I mean, none of us saw that coming, did we?
Yes, I think we did, Charles.
Oh, did you really? Oh, okay, yeah. Then, Neil. Over to you, then. Bragg Central time.
Billy Bragg.
Billy Bragg, yes.
Yeah. Get him in.
Or Fort Bragg.
No.
Or Mount Braggs.
You're out. Right, okay, good. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Could Braga? You get away with that?
if
you're posh.
Exceptional.
Oh, stop bragging.
Oh, hello.
Braggy Thatcher. Get
there's
her
always,
out. Jeffy, I want to hear about Jeffy.
She's well out, Danny.
I want to hear about Jeffy's
day. As far out as you can be.
I want Jeffy's tales of...
Yes, come on, Jeffy.
Because Jeffy was there, she can actually give us full view of what happened.
Evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hey. What a weekend. Do you want me to start at the very beginning and just give you a rundown of my day?
It would help.
Fabulous. Well...
Can we have times as well, please?
So
15:23 and 42 seconds.
So I had a magnificent day. I don't know about everybody else. But we got the train, and it always starts with a row, because you can't not have a row on your way to the football. So we had our annual row, which encouraged me, because I thought if we weren't driving, we might not have the row, and then some kind of superstition might mean that it wouldn't be as good as what it normally would be. So I was like, we better have the row. So we had a row about parking, which was great, because obviously my technophobe father wasn't quite happy and satisfied with the fact that I could pay on an app. And demanded to pay with cash, not even a card. I mean, Stone Age. So then I got on the train with my 16-page book full of tickets before I then transferred that wedge of paper into the bin and used the Apple Pay wallet system, which is what most normal humans would use. And yeah, so I got on the train and arrived in Leyton Orient. Had a lovely little trip round central London, and then kind of was like, oh, let's just go to the game. And then it was epic. Absolutely
brilliant.
Epic.
Can I just pause you very quickly, Jeffster, because I'd forgotten about this, but our good friend Giles, our lovely listener Giles, sent this for you.
The Further Adventures of Jeffy.
I like that. That's very cool. Go on, Giles.
Appropriate.
You were in first class, Jeffy, as well, weren't you?
Yeah, well, accidentally, really.
Accidentally.
Really accidentally.
I thought it was the quiet coach.
clearly paid, obviously. We don't cheat the system or anything. No.
I know.
We paid for first class because we did. So we paid for first class and I got a free food box, which was fantastic. So the day
what
started
was in the
well.
Box?
So we
what
had
in,
yeah, obviously
fruit,
yeah, important
cake, biscuits, and then the food man
was
returned.
It, Was it fruit and cake or a fruit cake?
No, fruit and cake.
Okay, phew.
Fruit and cake and biscuits. Yeah, and then the food man gave me a cup of tea. And then the food man returned and gave me more food. And I was like, great, this is wonderful.
Any cheese, Jeffy?
Yes, cheese. Yeah, definite cheese.
I would like to know what type of cake and what biscuits.
A Madeleine cake.
Oh.
Jeffy, quick, what biscuits were they?
Warburtons, the little shop things. I said it, you were too...
They're not biscuits, they're bread.
Bread.
No, you...
Warburtons
maybe
biscuits.
It's not Warburtons.
Is it Hove? Do you mean
no,
Hove?
No, it's Whitworths, those little shot things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Okay. Got me Warburtons and me Whitworths mixed up.
It served you up a slice of bread and then, there's your biscuit.
Is this all free food, by the way?
Yeah, free food. Oh. Which was great. I mean, I paid enough for it, let's be honest. Well, I mean, I didn't pay for it, but my father did. Well,
train travel is expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's weirdly and ironically, it's less expensive than driving to London for us.
Well, I'm not surprised, actually, yeah, considering the cost of fuel these days, especially from the distance you would have to travel.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I was like, well, this is turning out to be quite good. And then we got to the pubs and they were heaving with Cobblers fans who were merry, to say the least. And I thought, well, this is the perfect stage for us to mess it up. And we didn't.
Yeah. Did you go in the weather
when
spins,
you say,
Jeffy?
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, good question. No, it was along
them.
The same lines.
You went into all the weather spins?
Yeah. Not in London.
Completed it.
Completed it.
Monopoly.
She got a book where she stamps... Every time
like
she goes into a new one.
No, it's a scratch off. It's a scratch off Wetherspoons map.
Oh, it scratches there.
No, but we went down all of the pubs in Leighton. So we did all of them.
Brilliant.
You say the Cobblers fans were merry, for those of us that weren't able to attend, what was the atmosphere? What was it like? What were they singing?
Oh, it was relentless. They were just nuts. I mean, to be fair, one poor man was carted out halfway. We'll get to the game in a minute, but he got carted out halfway through the first half because he was, for want of a better phrase, trolleyed. And the coppers.
Did he forget to take it back? Was that what the issue was? Had he left his pound in it?
Well, no. And then the coppers sent him off. And then he just fell down the stairs. And I was like, oh, right, that's gone well.
Did his legs just go? Is it one of them?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Do you think he'd been on the boat? Did you see the video on the boat?
Yes, that was
I felt really sorry for anyone that wasn't there and was just sightseeing on the Thames.
Yeah. Come on, dear. Let's go for a nice jolly up the Thames. It'll be very romantic.
I'm sure I was with your... I don't think I realised, or he realised, but I'm sure I was with your brother, Danny, on the tube.
Could well have been.
Yeah.
It was with a group of... group of guys, about 10 of them, I think.
Yeah. Cool. I think we were on the tube together.
Hey, good.
Yeah. Because we also were singing on that as well on the way home, which was...
This is why I asked if you were in Wetherspoons, because I know they went in there.
Yeah, no, I went... We did like a Leighton pub tour, which, okay. I mean, I don't know how good that is, because I don't drink.
I'm literally just going to play that
out
every
of
time
the Leighton pubs,
going
which... which was your favourite, Jeffy, out of the Leighton pubs?
Technical's pretty good. But I don't drink, so I mean, I'm useless, really.
No, you're not useless. You can still go in a pub and appreciate it.
The ambiance.
Yeah, no, the technical was good. The technical was good.
The ambiance.
I don't know the names of the other one, but it was good.
Did you go in O'Neill's?
I don't think so.
The birds?
So the game then.
Sorry. I just...
No,
what a game.
I did think that sometimes... The atmosphere that is created beforehand can really make or break an away day.
It did.
Because it looked like, just through following it on social media, like it was just a cracking atmosphere hours before the game even kicked off. And literally the atmosphere just flowed from the boats, from the tube, from the Wetherspoons, from the wherever else people went to, into Brisbane Road, and just carried on that whole time. And I'm going to say it, that we'll talk about Pinnock's goal in a second, but the aftermath of that is the epitome of hashtag limbs.
Yeah, I mean, I got seriously injured in those celebrations.
Oh, Some great videos. Absolutely.
I enjoyed the one from the Leighton Orient fan that just said, "Fair fucks, Northampton."
Yeah. Summed it up perfect.
That's a proper East London. Fair fucks.
I also enjoyed a Leighton Orient fan on Twitter saying, fair play to the Northampton fans. They've been brilliant. They've been really friendly, singing really loudly. And the first reply was, scrap that. They've just lobbed a flare at us.
Yeah, what was that? Because I was listening to some of the home commentary on the goal, so I wanted to see what they made of the first goal. And they said just after the Pinnock scored, a flare went into the home end.
I contest that because I was stood very near it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was. We were separated by that little net in stuff and it went off just next to them. I don't think it was literally lobbed into the crowd. We were lively. I say we. I count myself as a Cobblers fan. I'm very well behaved when I go away and at home.
She is. I've seen her.
Yeah. But yeah, we didn't cause any malicious harm or trouble from what I believe.
Been though, Jeffy, that somebody did attempt to throw said flare or smoke bomb or whatever it was at the Leighton Orient fans, but had had one too many goes on the boat and had maybe just been a bit wobbly and a bit weak in his throw?
I mean, I think we're retracting from the major talking point. So,
I was just wondering. I was just, you know, there we go. Anyway,
it was. Just
I have one more question before we get to the game. I have one more question for you, Jeffy.
Go on.
So, in front of at the front of the stand, just slightly to the right of our fans, there was three blokes with microphones.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah, and so Jeremy Casey from Cron fame.
I was near him,
Yeah, he's tweeted out a nice video of the fans singing after the game, and you could see those three people with microphones who apparently, I think, were doing the Leighton Orient live YouTube thingy. my question, Jeffy, is how much stick did they get?
I don't think...
If any.
Genuinely, and then this is the honest answer, I don't think anyone even really cared that they were there because we were too interested in the fact that we'd absolutely slaughtered them. No one cared.
Why are they positioning themselves in front
literally
of the away
straight
end?
In front of us?
I don't know, right?
Well, that's the worst place you want to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we're doing a pre-match or a post-match thing, we don't go and stand in front of the south stand, do we?
Let's go and stand right next to the Borough fans. Not going to happen, is it?
Well, it could happen next season.
Yeah, but we're not standing next to them. I'd rather save myself. But nah, the thing for me before I left Somerset was I thought we were going to win. I had this gut instinct that we were going to win and win well. But my real feeling was the last time I was there was 2016 when we all know what happened and I kind of didn't want it to be tarnished. So I was desperate for it to go well because I didn't want that wonderful day in 2016 to kind of be like, oh, well, we messed it up just before we were going to get promotion in 2022 kind of thing. So I was really torn with how I felt about going. And then you do get a feeling as soon as you walk in the ground, you know whether you're going to win or not. And as soon as I walked in the ground, I knew we were going to do it. I didn't think we were going to do it the way we did it. It was so, I can't tell you how intense it was watching it. There was a point in the first half, probably around 40 minutes in. And normally if you're a Cobblers fan and it's looking a bit dodgy, you're clock watching, aren't you? Constantly like, oh, what's the time? How long have we got left till halftime? Blah, blah, blah. Or what? Just kind of getting an opportunity to talk about what we should do. You just couldn't take your eyes off it. It was absolutely relentless. And I think one thing I want to say before we talk about what we've done, because what we did is incredible, but I was talking to a Leighton Orient fan on the way home. It was ultimately a fantastic advert for League Two football at its absolute best, because actually Orient weren't particularly poor and we were really, really good in the first half particularly. And it was just a fantastic game of football. A dodgy red card, 6 goals, carnage in the away end, and that's what you want from football. And it's those kind of days that make you completely and utterly fall in love with the game over and over again, because you can't buy them, those games. You can't buy them.
No, I agree. It's something special, isn't it, with
absolutely
those kind of games. Something special when the Cobblers go to Leighton Orient as well, isn't there? I mean, just Wow. I mean, I remember I was sat in my office to watch it, and I was going to try, while I was watching it, I was going to try and do some bits and pieces, some work bits. And the game just started so fast, didn't it? It was end to end from literally the first kick. I literally, all my work just, I was like, no, I can't do that. I'm going to have to sit and watch this. This is ridiculous how quick this is. And I mean, I think in fairness, Leighton Orient probably had two really good chances to score before we did.
We're a bit shaky, weren't we, to start?
Yeah, Fraser Horsall fell over.
Yep.
That was a bit concerning.
It screamed ding dong from the off, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You can tell within a minute what we're going to come out like.
Yeah, we were. That first half, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen. I was trying to think back to when I've seen a half of football from Cobblers like that. It must have been in the promotion season.
Yeah, it was Leighton Orient in that second half.
Probably was, Leighton actually. Orient, yeah, it probably was. When we've been so, because it genuinely, it looked like every time we went forward, we potentially were going to score.
Well, not only that, I don't think it was necessarily even that, because you're absolutely right in what you say, but I think it was the fact that you actually couldn't sit down, not because you couldn't sit down, but because you couldn't miss anything. It was like, when is this going to stop? Because it was all over the place. In a good way, it was just carnage, is the only way I can describe it. You just didn't know where to look. You couldn't take your eye off it at all.
You remind me a little bit of John Brady at the end of League One, you know, when he was just going all out, balls out. There was that game at MK that was 4-3 when old PT Kyoto got a couple of goals, bless him. Yeah. That kind of thing where it's just gung-ho all the time, and it just felt like an end-of-season game where there wasn't much on it, but the fact that there was something on it for us, the fact that the other scores were going for us as well, it just made it that extra bit special, didn't it? And
we said that, though, didn't we? We said they've got to go for it. And
yeah,
did.
Yeah. Just keep.
How many times have I said I want them to steamroll through teams? Yeah. How many times have I sat and said, "We've sat back. We've been really passive. We look like we just matched the team against us. We didn't go for it." And literally, everything that I want. I know we conceded a couple of goals, and we'll come on to the second half in a minute. But everything that I wanted from a team, if you could kind of stamp what Jeffy wants from a Cobblers team, it's that 20-30 minute period where it was just completely and utterly relentless.
I mean, it was the fact that even when we conceded the first goal to make it 3-1, literally we just went down the other end and just went, "Nah, we'll have our 3-goal advantage back. Thanks very much."
Yeah,
pretty much,
and
straight
that ball
away
from the King. Oh my life, perfection!
Ah, is that
perfection.
What got him in the team of the week? Is it? That one ball.
Well, no, it was his near.
Charles is furious.
It was his near goal.
There's Richard Hope.
I just can't understand how. And no offense to Ali Koike whatsoever here, but considering he was not the best player, he was not the standout player from our team in that game.
I disagree with that.
How can you say that when Pinnock has scored a worldie and Epia has scored two brilliant goals?
Koike
as well.
Was literally just flattening defenders.
Yeah, and almost scoring own goals as well.
Oh, that was amazing. That was so much fun to watch.
He didn't quite
like,
get back
for
their first goal either. He didn't get back and cover that well. But anyway.
On his heels.
Go on, Danny.
On his heels a bit. Hoskins put in a lovely ball.
Yeah.
For second.
Inch perfect.
I think overall, it's like we asked for before the Oldham game. Was it after Mansfield when we were just so down in the dumps and being
Bristol
like
Bristol Rovers,
right,
maybe
Bristol Rovers potentially, what but we were
yeah.
We were sat here in our little podcast bean saying, "Show us something. Show us that you care." Because the Mansfield game, we just didn't seem to be bothered about going up. And I think we always remember us all sitting here and thinking, the fans don't seem to be caring, the players don't seem to be caring, no one's talking about it off the pitch. Suddenly, three games in, three wins out of three, suddenly the fans have started believing because they've sold out all three games for the rest of the season now. The management have started to believe it. We're starting to believe in the players. We've got a front three that have clicked. We've got everything falling into place. And people, whether we go up or automatically or what, we've suddenly got something where we're believing in it. And fair play to them because they've proved us wrong
absolutely
so far. because and they've come out fighting, and that's exactly what we wanted. That, I mean, we're going to say what we think at the time, and what we thought was no one seemed to be too fussed about going up. And you cannot say that about the last three games now.
No, it's there for us now.
Yeah, it was incredible.
You're completely right, because it was that feeling beforehand. I mean, maybe it is just overreactionary from us and from the fan base as a whole. But
it's frustration, I think.
The last three games have just shown, well, probably the last four now, if you actually look at it and go back to maybe even the Bradford game. But they just show that what happens when you've got a strong front line that try to score goals. And I'm not saying that we didn't try and score goals during the rest of the season, but we made really hard work of it all the way through the rest of the season, unless we were doing set plays.
I think it's about awareness, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's this thing of just being like, all of a sudden it's exciting.
Mm. I've got a theory.
We like a theory.
Bunnies.
Go on.
Paul Lewis getting sent off.
Oh, hello.
Best thing that ever happened.
Could be the reason we get automatically promoted.
Totally agree.
Poor Paul Lewis.
Poor Paul, and that's not a slight on him, although I'm not his biggest fan. He's a competent footballer. But I think he held us back. And I think now, McWilliams being back is massively important. And actually, that was probably part of the reason why we slowed down a bit in the second half, was because he got a booking in the first half and then was wary of, rightly so, of... He couldn't do his usual because he didn't. Mm. Yeah. So I actually think, as weird as it sounds, Paul Lewis getting sent off is possibly one of the greatest things that's happened so far this season.
Can I give that a little bit of a caveat for you? And
you
caveat it.
Of course you can.
I would like you to wear
a cravat
while I do it. Like you said, it's not that he's a bad footballer.
No.
I don't think he fits in with our... Agreed. Style of play.
Where does he fit in with Keith Curl team?
He's not dynamic enough.
Yeah.
The other thing that's happened is it's meant that Pinnock's gone into that role, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Because he drifts around.
We were saying, though, weren't we,
and...
beforehand about Pinnock playing in that sort of number 10 role hadn't worked before, and he disappears. And to be fair, I still think with this game, he scored that absolute worldie, but I don't think he was really that involved in the majority of the game. Am I wrong?
You are wrong. Okay. So,
yeah, you are wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. So, you're not wrong, really. He's always going to be a bit in and out, I think. That's okay. The problem was when he was playing wherever he was playing before, we dropped him into that role.
Mm.
The makeup and the setup of the team, we were solely relying on him, really, for any creativity.
Yes.
It was solely down to him. Him dropping back, yeah, maybe he's not, in your eyes, you know, leading us in terms of creating chances and that sort of stuff. But it's for the benefit of the team. He still brings something to the team and are attacking.
Because now you've got Hoskins and Appiah on the wings, and you've got...
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do see what you mean.
So that's not to say... I think he's never been a player, certainly in his time with us, and this isn't to say he's not a good player, because he's not. He's really good.
Hmm.
But he's never been a player that for 90 minutes grabs the game and... like runs the show. That's not really his style. He'll flit in and out of games. That's okay.
Martin Smith did that, it's those
moments of quality when he flits into it, and then he might be anonymous for 20 minutes, but then he'll come up with another moment of quality. But I think him in that role, get that moment of quality from him. We weren't getting that from Paul Lewis.
Fair play.
He scored a hat trick. Yeah, fair enough. That was, you know. So
I think that was Luke.
It's fine. Scored a hat trick. But I just think in terms of the team, it works, because it means that we're not reliant on him. I think we look like a much more complete football team.
Yeah.
And I have much more confidence watching us in terms of chances. Because, I mean, you know, the first half, Appiah scored two good goals. He also missed a couple of relatively... simplest chances, and we missed a few others as well.
Sunshine missed a few.
We look dangerous, and we look like we know what we're doing going forward. Yeah. We look like we've got a purpose.
I'm happy with, we've got three phases of play. So you've got the defence doing their work with Roberts. Then you've got a clear midfield line. But then we've been desperate for is two people who know exactly what they're doing and working perfectly together up front. And obviously more, but the two, you've got Appiah and Appiah, that's a partnership that has just suddenly just clicked, isn't it?
I think it's three of them, and Epia's getting him up to fitness, and he was a different class on Saturday. Mm. And he's the type of player who you look at other teams having, you think, yeah, they're promotion contenders. We actually looked like promotion contenders at the last few games, and getting Epia, Hoskins and Apre on the same page has been a major part of that. I think Epia was superb. His running, his timing of his runs, his touches. I mean, you say he missed a couple nil, but he's in that position and he's there and he's come back and he's bagged a couple. And the confidence that he's got, he's a level above, definitely, Labala by a long way. There's a marked difference there. He's a level above in terms of attitude, I think, as well, in terms of all the other loanees that have come in. His attitude to get down, work hard and get in the team and show his quality and not just sit back.
I thought he looked like a championship player.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, and he looks like he is really happy to be here fighting for promotion, which is a key thing that we said before, is that none of them seem to look like they wanted to be around the loanees I'm talking about. He seems to have properly got on with it and is such an exciting player. I know Tim asked him after the game, there's no chance he's going to be here if we're in League 2. Potentially get him on another loan if we go up. He would be absolutely fine in League 1, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Can we just talk about Pinnock's goal?
Yes. His
moment of absolute magic. So just to start this conversation off, Ricky Holmes tweeted, unbelievable strike, the second best I've seen at that stadium. Winky face. Pinnock's had a great season. Hopefully he can cap it off with promotion. I'd just like to shout out to Stew22 for his reply to Ricky, which was immediately, straight away, without thinking, without hesitating, totally. Rod McDonald's finish was something else.
Excellent.
Just brilliant. Absolutely well played. And Ricky loved that too. So that was great. But yeah, I mean, my word. I mean,
what a goal.
Oh, it got me off my seat.
I think the thing for it is it's one of those where as soon as he hit it, you knew where it was going. Secondly, I think, which is quite important, the way that it was hit. You know who's hit it. You know where it's going. And it's like, if you watch the highlights, which I've watched several times in the last day, you hear us all scream before it's even hit the back of the net.
Oh, yeah.
We all know where it's going. Mm. And it's one of those where you just absolutely lose the plot. And the away end just lost it. Absolutely lost it when it went in. My leg is purple from celebrating. It's really bad. And I've got like some serious issues with my poor feet because I was just nuts, absolutely nuts. And
Jeffy's broken.
I literally was broken, completely broken. But I want to shout out Sam Hoskins because they're obviously really working on these free kick routines and they're just leaving defenders for dead.
Did you hear what Mitch said?
He
basically said Hoskins messed it up. Hoskins messed it up and gave Pinnock everything to do. So he literally just went, oh, I might as well just have a pop.
Yeah, have a go.
Yeah.
But
Hoskins, that, Jeffy.
Hoskins, just him and Pinnock again are just two that have just really started to click well. And I like
Do we think Sam Hoskins gets an assist for that? You know,
they
do.
I think they should.
Yes, of course he does.
Of course he does.
He's assisted. Oh,
by the way,
I mean, accidentally,
Sam Hoskins. Sam Hoskins has taken a lot of stick.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would say these last probably three months, feel like he's stepped up a little bit of a level.
Yeah,
I think he's been brought up by the system and the front three. His levels have come up, but he's rose to it as well.
He still has frustrating moments, of course he does, but he's a League Two player, so that's going to happen. But I genuinely think he is now starting to more consistently be what everyone probably hopes he could be and stuff. I think he's integral at the moment.
I think what he's also doing is consistently beating defenders. And that hasn't happened previously, is it?
Yeah, you're right.
He's just delivering. Right? He's delivering, isn't he? Like even with assists or goals.
He is shutting the haters up. That's what he's doing.
He's sticking two fingers up to everyone that hates him.
Including us, when we've got a go at him.
You know, we've had a real go at him.
Speak for yourself.
Absolutely fine. Oh, yeah, all right.
Sorry, Danny, you're the one-man fan club over there. It's 2012.
I can't believe that I'm going to ask this question, but it feels as though we're going to have to start some sort of campaign here. Mitch Pinnock's goal against Leyton Orient, was it the goal of the season?
Oh, absolutely.
What are the goals that have been nominated?
Well, Gareth Wilshere was saying about this on the radio, wasn't he? That goal's not allowed to stand for
the
official award.
We're campaigning. No,
they've got
right
enough time to get the trophy.
Right now.
Yeah. I think he just needs another one.
I think the Tranmere one was just as good.
What, the Atete one? Or the
Pinnock went at home.
Nah, I don't think it's good.
There is no way.
Oh, the home one. Sorry, it was, yeah, that was decent, but no, I wouldn't have said.
Yeah, no, but I mean in terms of the occasion and what it meant, but I think the actual quality of the shot against Orient, there's no, I'll tell you what, there's no question. I'll be furious if that doesn't get goal of the season, unless he scores from his own half next week.
There's not time to get the trophy engraved, Jeffy. So.
Oh, Gareth,
I'll engrave it for him.
I'll engrave it for you, Gareth.
I mean, I don't know what it'll say, but
no, nor I.
I mean, I'm right. So I'll just run you through it, okay? The four that have been nominated are Mitch Pinnock versus Bradford City, Sam Hoskins versus Colchester, Mitch Pinnock versus Tranmere,
yeah,
and Aaron McGowan versus Stevenage.
Oh yeah, that was a good one, to be fair.
So those are the four. But all of those have been bested, haven't they? Surely.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
No way. Yeah.
So in that case, basically, what we need to do is we need to just say to the football club, look, get it engraved. That's fine. I mean, Mitch Pinnock had a 50% chance of winning the vote anyway, didn't he? Because he's got two goals on it already. So just engrave it with the word Mitch Pinnock. You don't need
Mitch
to put
Pinnock,
what goal it
every
was.
Every goal he scored.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, if he doesn't win goal of the season, tragedy, awful decision, and the club needs to just sort that out. There you go. Dreadful.
That goal was just. But you know what I think is even more interesting?
We just need two wins and we're up.
No, is that actually the quality of the assists was insane. Absolutely insane. The cross, I think it was Epia's second
was the Hoskins, yeah.
Yeah, but even the first one as well, like the pinpoint accuracy that we've got in our crossing is something else at the moment. And also, not only that, is particularly Jean-Pierre, his awareness of where Epia is second to none.
If you moved on, Jean-Pierre's back, yeah.
He's back. He's coming into his own now, isn't he? A little bit. He's got that confidence.
No, I was picking up the fact that Jeffy called him Jean-Pierre and not.
Yeah, no, he is Sunshine, but Jean-Pierre Sunshine, I reckon I'm going to call him.
Jean-Pierre Papin. It'll always be Jean-Pierre Papin.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're two wins away from promotion. It's all in our hands.
Got the whole world in our hands.
Oh, well, indeed, nearly. Exeter and then Barrow. Quickly, can we do it, Neil?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Danny?
Yes, I think we can. Yes.
Chezzy?
Yes, can I comment on that, though?
Oh, I mean, okay.
So yes or no question, Jeffy?
Yes, yeah. But this is what I'm going to say.
Don't bring yes or no questions back again, Neil.
This is what I'm going to say. Yes, we can. Right?
Yeah.
We can. Form and what we've done throughout the season, I don't care. I do not care what has happened over the last few weeks and months and who's done what over the season, who's got the most... I don't care. Nobody cares at this point. All you have to do is go and win two games of football. So this whole thing about, oh, we've done so much so well this season, I don't want to hear that from my football club. I want to hear, we're going to go and we're going to win two games and that's what we're going to do. I don't care what's gone on for the last 9 months of this season. It's irrelevant. It is pure battle. And all
it's essentially,
you have to do is win.
It's essentially the mindset you need for the playoffs. We've got to start.
Absolutely. Now.
We've got to go into these two games as if they're the playoff finals.
Yeah.
Can I just say, if we beat Exeter on Saturday...
Cheese rolling.
Cheese rolling's on the cards for starters.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start planning that event. And I will definitely be going to Barrow in the home end.
Mm-hmm.
I might join you, Neil.
Yeah.
It might be.
I've got visions of Torquay away.
Me too. It's exactly that, isn't it? From 2000.
Quite as salubrious surroundings.
Now, Baba can beat this. This is lovely.
Yeah.
Right. Time for a short break now. But when we return, Neil, well, this week before the wrap, and we'll dip into the postbag to hear your opinions on all things cobblers. So back in a moment. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me, boys and girls, or as I'm calling it now, It's All E-I-E-I-E-I-O to Me. It's time to dip into Neil's stack and find out what you've got to say about all things Northampton Town. But first, Neil, rap, go.
I shall not rap. I'm not Danny. I'm not a performing monkey.
I mean,
Danny is the performing monkey in the group.
Danny tried to get his own
people, back. I love how some people thought the Cheeky Girls song at the end of the last pod was a rap.
It's like a reading.
It was a reading, yeah.
A reading.
And it was tremendous.
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant, or just some fun, at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
We've got a long email here.
We have.
Settle in. Right, it's from Rob K.
Hi, Rob.
First time emailer. Been listening for about a year after a mate recommended you guys and your great work. Congrats on the award win, by the way. It is very well deserved. Already in our good books. Meant to send this after the Bristol Rovers game, but as with many things in life, got distracted. I was taken in by the disappointment that you guys shared and how unhappy you were after the game, which is where my subject line comes into play. I think one of the reasons you were so unhappy with the result and performance was because it was against Joey Barton, a person far worse than your typical pantomime villain. Hello, Barry Fry. Having just listened to the Orient game and the two games over Easter, I can't help but feel that we are in a pretty good place, especially when you consider what happened to Oldham this weekend. If we don't go up this year, it won't be the end of the world, because for a few periods this season, we haven't seemed good enough. We need to think long term, 3 to 5 years maybe, and have our place in League One cemented, not yo-yo around a la Norwich, West Brom and Fulham in the Prem. Our town is big enough to cater for a League One side, there is no doubt about that. And if we can have a long-term strategy in place, I think we could do reach this level. I'm not sure that makes sense, actually. I think we could do well to reach this level, I think he means. But if we get promoted now and we get relegated again straight away, what have we actually gained? We were promoted a season too early last time around. Hopefully we can learn from our old mistakes. I mentioned Oldham earlier and something struck me about the pod last week. I don't and don't want to know all of the ins and outs relating to the Six Fields area development. However, I know that there is no smoke without fire and I'm very dubious about what is going on in the background on both sides. On the one hand, we have a supporters trust and my suspicions are that the developers who had their rival bid for the land rejected, are involved somehow. And we have the club who are not faultless in this process either. It will be interesting to see what happens, but we can't let ourselves be another Bury, Oldham or Macclesfield. I would rather be patient than just build the East End ASAP and be done with it. I wonder, could some of the land be used for our training needs, as well as the inevitable commercial space? I'm not sure if we still use the college's facilities or not, but this kind of approach could help. On a lighter note, I did hear that Sam Hoskins hit the 50-goal milestone last week. Do you know who the others in the 50 club are? My money is on Neil Grayson, Steve Howard, Carlo Corazin and David Seal. Thank you for the work you do and the amazing Wembley special pods. The 95-96 season was my first season as a Cobblers fan, so to be at Wembley behind Frayne's goal in season two was very special. Unfortunately, I'm on holiday when the special event is being held. Otherwise, I would definitely have joined in. Keep up the good work and up the Cobblers. Love from Rob.
Oh, that's lovely. What a lovely email. Neil, take a breath. Should we go with the 50-goal milestone question that yes. Rob had? I'm going to say that I agree. I think Neil Grayson made 50 goals in a Cobblers
shirt.
I'm
not so sure he did, you know.
Oh, really?
I thought it was more of a like 10, 12 goals a season.
How many seasons?
I would say, who's he said? So he said Steve Howard definitely didn't.
No, definitely Steve not. Fashion. Neither did David Seal.
Neither did Carlo Corazon.
Neil Grayson, 31.
Oh, there
you
go.
Carlo Corazon didn't. David Seal wouldn't have done. Steve Howard wouldn't have done.
So I'll give you two that I pretty much can guarantee did.
I've got the top 20 in front of me, Charles, if that helps.
Oh, so okay. All right, then I'll adjudicate. Can I give you the two names that I've got in my head? Scott McLeish.
Scott McLeish, 56.
Yes. Oh, now you see. Now that's made me worry about my second one.
Oh, go on.
Bayo.
Oh, yes, of course he has.
Oh, he has. Okay, good.
74.
Oh, okay. 74, I was expecting Scott to have got more.
Yeah. We're talking about all time, all goals, right?
Oh, Jack English.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Top of the lot. 140.
Frank Large.
Frank Large, yeah.
Richard Hill.
Thought you could have Richard Hope.
Yeah, I did then. That's why I laughed.
Richard Hill, was he goal scorer? I don't think he was a massive goal scorer, was he?
He got one season. A fair few in one season, didn't he?
Yeah. 30, didn't he, or something? Yeah.
No, not on the list. I've only got the top 20, so it might be that there's some below 56 that...
Jamie Forrester, did he get up to 50?
Oh, did he? Did he? No, sure I don't think so. No. I mean, the problem is a lot of players aren't around long enough.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the
someone
big
on the
one, isn't it?
Someone on the coaching staff. You might want to say.
Mark Richards,
yeah. Huh. 63.
He's not that old. Oh, who else?
It's hard. Give us a few, Danny. Come on,
Eddie Bowen.
Go through him.
Eddie Bowen, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
William Lockett. Lockett.
Lockett. Oh,
yep. Yeah.
Get him. Albert
Dawes, 103. George's brother.
Yep.
Who else is on here? Got Don Martin, Fred Lessons.
Don Martin?
Anyone may know.
Harry King.
Who?
Alan Warren. Ian Benjamin.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I was thinking of Benjamin.
Yeah. Archie Garrett. Billy Best, of course.
Of course.
There we go.
Fabulous.
And Samuel Tobias Hoskins. Amongst those great names.
He's in there.
Brilliant,
in
isn't
there.
It?
Sam is also on, is made the top, he's 17th now in the appearances list. Ooh. All-time appearances.
Is he?
Yeah.
Cobblers? Is he really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
He may as well. He should stay for the rest of his career. Let's have a testimonial. Come on.
Yeah, it's getting close to 300.
We'll get John Hodge back.
Should we get every trickier winger that we've ever had?
Yeah.
So
Matthew Rush, John Hodge,
Matthew Rush, yeah.
Ali Gibb,
Ryan Smith, Ali. Was Ali Gibb tricky?
He was a winger.
Mickey Warner.
Mickey Warner. Yeah. He'll be at our Wembley do.
Our Wembley do.
Our Wembley do. That's how I'm calling it. It's our Wembley do.
The Wembley do.
Josh Lowe, of course.
Josh Lowe. Yeah. Chris Hackett.
Hackett.
Oh, yeah, Chris Hackett. He wasn't tricky. Oh. Once you realise what he was going to do, is
that's
step
true.
Over and then cross it. But I get it.
Sam Aston.
Oh,
he was not tricky. Yeah, tricky. Yeah,
tricky to watch.
Tricky to watch.
Oh, brilliant! Well, look, thank you so much for your email, Rob. Really appreciate that. Have you got an opinion on the Cobblers or a question for us? Send them our way to podcast@cobblerstome.com or find us on social media at Cobblers to Me. It's time to go and check out the most successful side that the Cobblers currently have, and that would be NTFC Women. Here's James Wiles with his report from the Northamptonshire FA Women's Cup Final.
Cobblers Women won the County Cup Final with a 2-1 win over rivals Peterborough United at Corby Town Steel Park on Sunday. Eden Brown and Alex Dick scored the Northampton goals as they returned to action after 3 weeks without a fixture. They made the perfect start and took an early lead when Brown headed home from Leah Cadone's free kick. Cadone was making her 50th appearance for the Cobblers today. but Peterborough equalised less than a minute later from a corner. Play stopped in the 19th minute as Cobblers goal scorer Brown received treatment following a foul in the middle. We obviously wish her all the best in her recovery. The game continued around 45 minutes later with Beth Artemayu coming on for Brown. She made an instant impact as well, setting up Alex Dix, who restored the Cobblers' advantage. Peterborough on top in the second half, but Lou Barry and Josh Elford's side saw out a hard-fought win. They travel to fourth place Mansfield Town on Tuesday night as the league running begins. Busy couple of weeks coming up for the Cobblers. They're 7 points behind Chesterfield with 5 games in hand on the league leaders as it stands.
Thank you very much to James there. If you want to hear or see, in fact, the interviews that James conducted with the joint managers, Lou and Josh, then just head over to @NTFCWomen on Twitter, and they're all on there for you. Fabulous result, I think we'll all agree, yes. But not just for the senior women's team. Mm-hmm. There were loads of wins for the Cobblers yesterday, on Sunday, sorry, that is. The under-14s, they were crowned county champions. Yes. And the under-16s were crowned county champions too.
Yeah. Champions all round.
Oh,
I want to mention the under-16s one. The team they beat was a club close to your heart, Charles.
Oh?
Glinton and Northborough.
Yes, yes, they're my second team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good old Glinton, up the Glints.
Up the Glints. Trophies everywhere.
Trophies coming out of our ears.
I mean, that's great for the progression as well, isn't it? For,
oh, yes.
They're all coming through at this right time. Mansfield on Tuesday night for the main team is going to be huge. Mansfield a decent side. Nice bit of Tuesday night women's action. Catch them games. 5 games in hand as well.
It's nuts. I know. You
have to win a couple of them and then just get it in there. I can't wait for them just to get back to the top. Get up there.
Couple of things. So, first of all, we would like to send our best wishes to Eden Brown, who was stretched off. We don't have any idea how bad that is or what's actually happened, but it does sound like it was a fairly bad challenge. So, hopefully, Eden, you'll get well soon and you'll be back playing as soon as you can. Secondly, kind of the reverse is that it was really good to see Abby Bruin back on the team sheet. Our very own Abby, back playing in the first team after a bit of an injury layoff. So we're really pleased to see Abby back in the team. And well done, obviously, to every single one of the players of all of those teams for picking up a nice shiny medal and a trophy.
Good when the opposition turns up.
It is, isn't it?
Don't peg it.
I mean, you know, it's one of those, isn't it? I mean, even better that it was against you know who, wasn't it, really?
As Ian Sampson would say.
Now, now. We'll leave it there. There was a charity game at Sixfields on Sunday. I don't know if any of you know about this.
Yes, there was.
I saw a tweet from, I think it must have been a Crystal Palace fan.
Oh, right.
It was going to be the ball boy that had got his like Crystal Palace firm stickers ready to take with him and stick up at Sixfields.
During the charity match?
Yeah. Someone had just replied to him saying, that's not normal.
That is a little bit weird, isn't it?
What are you doing? It's a charity game, mate.
It's a bit strange, that.
I'm going to be honest. It's great to do a charity thing and stuff, but I had a little look through who was playing. I didn't know many people.
Shane Ward.
I mean, was he playing?
I mean, if I'd have known that Shane Ward was going to come up against David Buchanan, then I might.
The only
have been
way you would have gone down there is David Snedden had turned up.
Yes, that's exactly. Snedden needed to be there. He wasn't there. Why? I mean, some of these names are way worse names than David Snedden. Where was he? Maybe he was too good for it. Maybe it's not on that level.
It's like this thing. Have you seen this advert that for this the games or something that's coming up on telly? It's like apparently celebrities doing like, I don't know, like athletics basically. And it went through every single one. I genuinely didn't know any of them.
Dion Burton played. Ex Derby striker Dion Burton.
Did he play? Did he? He scored.
He scored a 45-yard lob.
Yes. Ooh. Over. Anyone want to guess the goalkeeper?
Jonathan Mitchell.
No,
Timmy Mallett.
50p Lille.
That is a celebrity game I would go and watch.
No, commentator on BBC Northampton. Look, sometimes, occasionally this season.
Pete Walton.
No, that would be amazing. Former Cobblers keeper.
Oh, former Cobblers keeper.
Yeah,
Lee Harper.
No.
Done.
After Lee. Yes, Neil.
It was Chris Dunn. First.
Jeffy did say that first.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry, Jeffy. I didn't hear.
Sorry, Jeffy.
Name it.
Apology accepted.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do like the imaginative names of these teams.
The Blues David and Buchanan, the Greens.
Yeah, David Buchanan's Greens against Shane Ward's Blues.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
No messing around. It's simple. Keep it simple.
I noticed that Rico played for the Blues.
Pardon?
Rico played for the Blues.
Oh, no.
Along with, who was it? What's his name? Jake. He was in EastEnders.
Jake.
Somebody. Ginger guy. Jake Wood. That's it. He was also on Strictly, I believe.
He was great on Strictly.
Did not even get Dean Gaffney.
Well, I mean,
he's always there, isn't he?
Disappointingly, there's no actual lineup. And there also wasn't actually that much detail on social media. Like, we only knew
that's not Les Ferdinand. I thought that was
the first two goals had gone in because we finally got a tweet saying it's 2-0. And it was like, oh, right, okay, what happened with the first goal? But that was a bit weird. Anyway. Seemed a bit strange.
Did you see that game recently where they held a raffle for Sunday league teams for Roberto Carlos to play for them?
Oh yes, I do. He did turn out for them as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Amazingly. That was brilliant.
I would like us to do something similar.
Right. The Cobblers, or do you mean us as a podcast?
Us on the podcast. Like, okay. Get Ronaldinho on or something.
Oh.
Rivaldo.
I wanted to be part of this game. I'm disappointed not to be involved.
Why did we get an invite?
I mean, probably I can't play football, which is probably why I didn't get an invite.
Get me on there. I'd look tremendous for about 2 minutes and then I'd have to come off.
People just think it's Michael Harriman. And
yeah, hold on, that's not doing. Fair.
Ring him.
Is it not fair on you or not fair on Michael?
probably Michael, let's be honest.
I would pay about 50 quid to see you line up against Dean Gaffney, Neil. That would make my life.
I reckon I would meg him a few times.
Do you think he brings Wellard along?
Of course he does.
Oh, come on. Wellard's well gone, isn't he? Long gone.
No, don't say that, because I'm still getting over Bouncer.
Oh, God. That's a long, long time ago, that is. Oh, dear. Brilliant. Anyway.
I've got some AOB, Charles.
Oh, AOB. Go on, Danny.
Flip-flop Thursday alumni, Ryan Cresswell.
Yes.
He's now manager of Sheffield FC. Got promoted. Because of course he did.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if he's your manager? You're not messing about, are you?
No.
Get the caterpillar cake out.
Oh, sorry, they didn't get promoted. They're staying up. Sorry.
I didn't want to correct you, but I thought...
Sorry, Chris.
Because his tweet was, my remit when I came in was to make sure we survived, and we did. And then you said he got promoted. I was like, maybe I read it wrong.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. So well done, Chris. Well done, Danny. Well done, Danny, for being wrong.
Stat man, Danny.
To make him happy, down.
Oh, that's brilliant. Coming up later this week, everyone, we've got a new episode of our Wembley 97 series. Would you like to know who it's with?
Oh, is it Ali Gibb?
It's not Ali Gibb, no.
Is it Sir Christian Lee?
No, but he definitely does have a sir in his title.
Well, it can only be...
Go on.
The John.
Oh, go on.
The John Frayne.
It certainly bloody well is, boys and girls.
Himself.
The man himself
must listen.
Is on. It is a top listen. I will be getting that out for you. Be out on Wednesday. it's a great listen. Obviously, we've already had Ian Clarkson on a couple of weeks back and Mike Sewell, who was the BBC Radio Northampton commentator.
Yeah, that was great, by the way, Charles. Oh, Mike Sewell, I enjoyed that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Danny. On the preview show this Friday, Danny, who will you be speaking to?
I can't say yet, but I've got a potential big name guest this week.
Oh, a big name guest. Like that. Brilliant. Yeah,
that's a little teaser for you there.
Fabulous.
I don't want to reveal too much in case it doesn't happen.
Okay, no problem. Well, look, thank you very much for listening.
Two words as a clue, Funhouse.
Pat Sharp. Jesus. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast and want to help us to keep making episodes, then you can join the fan club on Patreon, where you'll get access to even more podcasts and our community on Slack. To sign up, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Have a really good week, everybody. Enjoy being third and possibly getting promotion.
Stop it.
Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we